The world is a better place because you are here to join us. My name is Matt Brown, and I am the host of the Productive Conversations podcast. It's great to see each and every single one of you after a light week last week, and we had to maneuver so many things because I don't know if you're aware, there was a literal explosion in the city of Norwalk where a lot of work schedules had to be moved around. But as of this moment, and shouts to the government of Connecticut for actually getting it cleaned up. And it shows if people really want to get something changed without any political pressure, they will do it. Just keep that in mind. But back to normal. First tweet cap in a couple of weeks. Special Tuesday edition. We'll be back to Fridays next week as well. And we have some very big stories to cover. And don't forget to check us out tomorrow for NFL. And then what's taking place for the tweet cap will be Friday show will be NBA playoffs. And then we'll be back to normal switcheroo next week. But regardless, big tweet cap. Glad to see everybody's back. And we have the great Ryan Page and Dolo Ren here with us. Dolo Ren, who produces for this show. Great to see him back on camera. Ryan, our other right-hand person here as well as per usual. Great to see you as well, Ryan and Dolo.
Nice to see you both.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's good seeing you guys. It's good seeing you guys.
Back in effect. So a special team, as always, here. So let's get into what's trending in our world. Usually be at the end of the week. Let's start what's trending at the beginning of this week. Second show in May. Let's do it. Once and for all, let us talk about the biggest thing happening on the internet right now. And I can truly say of all generations and all type of people have at least heard about what we're about to discuss, and I'm sure you know exactly what we're going to get into. But hip-hop has become very, very intense over the past couple of weeks. We started the story now about a month ago when we had Kendrick and J. Cole. Sorry, when we had Drake and J. Cole call out Kendrick Lamar and like that. Kendrick responds back, and over the and ultimately it led to an all-out war. And first, J. Cole is the one to bounce back, and it has turned into the biggest hip-hop feud, maybe arguably biggest music feud.
It's up
since
there.
Since Biggie and Tupac. It is up there. The it's biggest there. Music feud in the last 30 years. I can confidently say that.
It's a long... Yeah, this is bigger than anything that's happened recently, certainly. It's been a long time since there's been something comparable.
Exactly. So you know what I'm talking about. Drake versus Kendrick Lamar. That is the beef. That is what is transcending the internet, where we have track after track after track going at it. And let me break it down for those who don't know. So this is the breakdown right now.
This is a hell of a breakdown. This is going to be... It's been a wild ride. It's
really Everyone take your notebooks out.
So we'll start this on March 26th. Like That comes out from Metro Boomin with a Kendrick feature where Kendrick calls out J. Cole and Drake. After that, Drake releases Push Ups on March 19th and Tailor Made Freestyle. Sorry, let me start that. After Like That is dropped, Drake releases Push Ups April 19th. He also releases Tailor Made on April 19th. Everything seems okay. People were talking about, man, you know, Drake had some mean things to say about Kendrick, nothing too serious. And then on April 30th, Kendrick releases Euphoria. Internet goes crazy last week. And this weekend alone, on March 3rd, Kendrick releases 616 in LA. Drake then releases Family Matters the same day. And then Kendrick releases Meet the Grams the same day. And then... On Saturday, Kendrick released Not Like Us. Drake has released The Heart Part 6 on Cinco de Mayo on Sunday. That's what we have right now. And in between this rap battle, literally from song after song, people have accused each other of domestic violence. The P word that rhymes with Olivia. We have people accusing of infidelity. We have people accusing each other of having children that hasn't been addressed to the public. It is as personal as it can get. And at this moment, pound for pound, you could say who you prefer, but I don't know if there's a winner. I don't know if there's a winner. I mean, I know who I who I think is winning, and I'll bless that after, but we first have to talk about how we feel about this whole ordeal. But this is getting pretty intense. These songs have wrapped millions of views on all random platforms, and at the moment, at least nobody has seemed to tap out yet, except J. Cole, obviously. But
that's the beginning.
Yeah.
Drake and Kendrick Lamar, and I've been doing a lot of research. People feel that this actually has been a feud that's been going on for over a decade.
Yep.
It has gone as far as back as 2013 with a Big Sean song that was released where Kendrick was featured, and he called out a bunch of rappers by name, specifically Drake. And then over the past, 10 years, little shots here and there. But after like that, I don't know. Kendrick Lamar, who usually only releases when it's album time, doesn't really throw random songs here and there. He, for some reason, is just going at it. You Man. Clearly know he hates Drake. He wants to make it clear, I hate you. And Drake, no doubt, I wouldn't go as far to say hate. I don't get from the songs that he hates him. I think he definitely... What's the word? It's like he...
There's no like love Drake, lost yeah. at this point. I think Drake is... Whether or not Drake feels as strongly about Kendrick as Kendrick very clearly feels about Drake, Drake is certainly not interested in a friendship or any even kind of professional relationship with Kendrick Lamar. I think no love lost might be the best way to describe what it sounds like where Drake is at. But it's so interesting, Matt, because you mentioned 2013, but 2012, I think it was 2012, Kendrick was on tour with Drake.
Yes.
As well. So people, like,
people pointing like
a,
that
yeah,
out.
Yeah, they were cool at one point. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In 2011, Kendrick, early Kendrick featured on a Drake song. 2012, they're on tour together. By 2013, all of a sudden, little shots here and there. And now, 2024, they are the two biggest names in rap music right now, which I think is true and is proven to be true throughout this entire thing. And they don't like each other at all.
Yeah, it's pretty, it's fun to see for a fan, but it's getting pretty personal. Dolo, what do you think about this beef right now, this tension at this moment?
Well, one thing I was thinking about when you were talking about how far it goes back, I don't know. It was always a rumored kind of thing. It started on the DJ Vlad YouTube channel. By the way,
Vlad
happy
TV.
My bad. Happy Cinco de Mayo, guys. I actually forgot it was Cinco de Mayo when Matt said that. I remembered it yesterday, but then forgot it today. So, happy belated Cinco de Mayo. I guess that's how you say it. Either way. I don't know if you guys heard about this. Drake was apparently on ESPN, I think, after the Control verse came out. And I think he was doing a show with Marcellus Wiley and what's his name? Max Kellerman.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, Marcellus Wiley was on Vlad TV, like fast forward to like 2017 before I get to that. Marcellus Wiley's on Vlad TV talking about a big beef that almost ignited on ESPN. But a rapper actually had to make a call to the higher ups at ESPN to get their episode canceled. And DJ Vlad was trying to get the information out of him, like, well, rapper, who's the rapper you're talking about? And Marcellus Wiley said, I'm sworn to secrecy. I can't say anything. I might lose my job at ESPN if it comes out. Mm-hmm. So it was always like a thing. Nobody really knew what it was about. They always figured it was either Drake or Kendrick. Like you could even, if you go back to the video, you could even read the comments, like people were speculating. So and then it's not till recently where all this is ignited. And then Marcellus Wiley was recently back on the Vlad TV platform. I'd say this is like maybe 2 weeks ago. And then Marcellus Wiley was like, Vlad TV popped the question again. He's like, hey, you remember the ESPN thing you were talking about? Who was that, by the way? Can you tell us by now? And then, it was kind of tongue in cheek because they both knew what was up. So Marcellus Wiley was like, yeah, I could tell you now. So back to what I was originally saying, when the Control verse came out from Kendrick, Drake was on the ESPN show with Marcellus Wiley and Max Kellerman. And they asked him about Kendrick. And then basically Drake is just like, basically like little bro in him. Like, yeah, he's a good guy. He's okay. He's not as good as me. Like, I guess Marcellus Wiley was just making it seem like Drake was being super braggadocious, but in like a cool, sly way. But like basically saying like, yeah, he can't mess with me. And I don't know how intense it was, but I guess it was intense to the point where Drake had to call I mean, Drake's people had to call ESPN after the show and say, hey,
I'd say, don't air that.
Yeah. You had to make the call in. So, you know, it's wild that this beef came out because it actually solved a puzzle from another, you know, from that, that interview. Like, it's crazy. Like, yeah, I have a lot of thoughts about it. That was the first thought I had about it. But, like, the second thought I had about it was, I mean, it's a question for you guys. Mm-hmm. When was the last time you felt like hip hop was like in a good place, or like hip hop was interesting, or you heard a lot of good hip hop around?
I think if you're a fan of hip hop, like I know Matt listens to a lot, and I don't know if you do or don't, Dolo, then you could probably name like a whole bunch of times, but I'm not a massive like hip hop fan. A song here or there breaks out. Usually if it's a top 40 hit, I'll hear it. So I'm definitely not like, you know, the target like hip hop listener. And it's been a very long time since I cared about hip hop as much as I care about this particular beef. I would go back as far as like the early 2000s into the mid 2010s, which is when I was actually actively listening to like to rap music. Now, like I said, and that was because I was more of a fan then. And that was when I was listening more. So
okay, Ryan, I can see you bumping some Lil Wayne mixtapes.
Oh, This is true. For the last however many years, I've had a Spotify account. They do the Wrapped, right? Every year, Lil Wayne is always my number one artist, and my number one song is always a Lil Wayne song every year since 2019. That's been the case. Or not even, maybe even 2017. I don't remember when I got my first one. Doesn't matter. It's been a long time. So yes, Lil Wayne. I'm a massive fan of Lil Wayne. But I mean, rap is an interesting spot, Dolo, in that, I mean, all music is an interesting spot. Me and Matt have talked about this. Like, famous people don't exist like they used to anymore. Like, everything's a niche now, right? Everything's an audience. Yeah. No, right? I mean, we've talked about this, Matt, for sure. Like, it's happening in pop, too. Like, everything's got, like, a core group, and they love it. And then people outside the group really don't care about it at all. And it's totally fine. Everyone makes a lot of money. Like, but these two are, like, two of the last... I know, like, we call Drake the pop star, right? But they're two of, like, the last real rap stars, like, that are active and current. Because, like, who's a younger than them, right? So I'm not talking, like, yes, you can name older rappers who are still releasing music. But, like, younger than them, came up after them. And again, you guys might know better. Who, I guess, about Bad Bunny, maybe? But that's also still kind of niche in a way, even though it's the most downloads in Spotify, you know, history. It's niche in that it doesn't fit all audiences. There's clearly audiences who don't listen to Bad Bunny because they don't know what he's saying. So I don't know. I just feel like these are like two of the last like real big iconic stars in rap. So of course this is the most interesting that rap has been in a long time.
So just to answer your question, the two dates that come out to mind for the last time hip hop was in a nice, peaceful, good period, I would say 2013, 2014 with these big sophomore albums like The Good Kid, M.A.A.D City and Kendrick Drake's. And, I mean, you know, to use these big three as a reference, and Drake's Thank Me Later, that era with Marvin Drew. I just can't think of the album top of my head.
Nothing Was the Same, right?
Right in between. You can pretty much that same range.
Too, yeah.
Though that range. You have J. Cole dropping, you know, the one with his house.
Yeah, he's on the roof. I know the one I'm talking about.
We got that. We had Danny Brown.
Forest Hill Drive.
We had Forest Hill Drive, Schoolboy Q, Nicki Minaj. All these, this era was beginning their prime.
That's where I was listening, by the way. Like, that's where I kind of stopped.
The other peak of hip hop, I would say, is the Super Bowl 3 years ago when they had Dr. Dre, Snoop, and Eminem, and Kendrick Lamar in that. But yeah, hip hop has been an interesting transition turning into, you know, if we're going from 80s just getting to establish artists, gangster rap in the 90s, 2000s, more southern rap gets bigger and all types of genres are accepted. And then a little bit in the 2010s, we then switch to more trap music, to more rappers who can't be coherent and stuff like that. And now we're at a niche rap era, which I don't think is hard to define when you have your, you know, your Uzi Verts are good, but it's more rock centric, or the late Juice World too. And there's probably other, there's hundreds of rappers that people are saying that just dropped in the last couple of years that I just haven't discovered yet. But to put this all to a bow, now we have all these people of all genres, from the earliest of Run DM, of Grandmaster Flash of Run DMC, to this little candy paint type of rappers. Everyone has an opinion on it, clearly. That's a real rapper, by the way.
I'm sure
I've heard that name before.
I believe that instantly.
And now right here, if everybody has an opinion on it, like I actually even saw Vince Staples talking about it recently. I feel like at least the last time rap was this tense, it legitimately got violent and, you know, never fully proven, but a lot of people feel the early exits of some rappers with Tupac and Biggie, Big L might have something to do with that. But we're at a point that I don't think anyone's actually going to get hurt. This is all really an ego match. Though definitely they're saying stuff that is fighting words, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. Well, in a different era. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, no, Ryan, you were first. Go ahead.
I was going to say, in a different era, Matt, I would disagree. In a different era, I would say this is leading there. I trust both. Like I said, these are two of the biggest stars in the entire genre across.
I'll take the L on
groups.
That one, because you guys are right. The more I think about it,
I don't think it will, because again, two of the biggest stars. They're well polished. They're acclaimed artists. I don't think it will get there, Matt. I think you're right, like technically, but like if this was earlier, if this was early 2000s, and this happened, I don't know that I would have the same confidence in what I just said.
Yeah,
I'm basing it on the fact that they're 37 years old, both of them. They have families.
Yeah,
they're multimillionaires. Right. They're both, you know, they've won awards.
You would hope it wouldn't go there.
Right, exactly.
Even if they're saying legit fighting words.
Well, here's the thing. Yeah. There's actually something that happened recently. Ryan asked me before if I pay attention. If he said he doesn't know if I pay attention to hip hop as much as or anyone else. I would say so and so nowadays, just to answer that right off for it. But I keep my eyes, you know, on everything that's going on. You know, I'm always on social media posting the clips and stuff. You know how that goes. But I'd say I still pay attention. I don't listen to as much hip hop, but I do know enough to, I guess, give a different take on it. So recently what happened was The Weeknd's one of The Weeknd's, I guess they called him his bodyguard, but he was more of like so The Weeknd, his label is called XO, and I guess, you know, they got the XO chain, so they're sort of like a gang. Like if they were doing criminal stuff and they got caught, it would be they could get a RICO charge type thing,
probably. Yeah.
But Young Thug, this whole thing going on.
Oh yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, that's a whole nother thing. Yeah, yeah. Don't Free Thug. There's a lot of things to that case. That's a whole nother monster. But either way, so The Weeknd's bodyguard just got killed a week ago. Jeez. I think after I believe it was before Euphoria dropped.
Okay.
It was after Like That drop for sure. Cause you know, The Weeknd did a remix on Like That too. A lot of people did a remix on Like That. Kanye did it. Kanye had the best diss towards J. Cole.
Yes,
I swear he did. Yo, it was so funny. I'm glad you heard it too, because I swear it's good to see. You know, like with Kanye, like it's good to see that, you know, like he can still have some humor in him. Like it made me laugh what he said about it. But so basically, like when I saw that, apparently, like what they're saying, you know, and videos that are talking about it, and other content creators that have a little bit more know-how, they're saying that the bodyguard that got killed from the XO camp was somebody that was really in the streets. So apparently was a quote-unquote shooter. So they're saying, so basically the narrative is that Like That drops, Weeknd does a remix, The Weeknd shooter gets smoked like a week after. So we don't know if that's related to the Drake thing, but
we never will.
Yeah, we probably never will. Yeah. But then again, who knows what The Weeknd has going on? But that's kind of shocking that somebody would. The thing is, and I think about it a lot too, because what I do outside of, like, you know, producing and content creation, I do some work as a security guard. And what happened in that case And now that I'm actually thinking about it, I got it mixed up. So the XO guy that got killed, he was just an XO guy. There was a security guard involved that got killed as well. And
that
so,
was the person you were talking about.
Yeah. So now that I got it all in my head right now. So sorry about that. I kind of mixed it up before. But yeah, so the XO guy gets killed a week after like that drops. And then the security guard gets killed in the mix. So basically these shooters came up and I guess killed the security guard first. You know, no words said, boom, 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 and then took care of the other guy. I guess it was a failed robbery that they're saying, but kind of scary that something like that would happen in the midst of all this.
Definitely. Like I said, I think it's been supercharged, the words. I mean, I listened to Family Matters, Meet the Grahams, Not Like Us, and
Meet the Grahams is my personal favorite. I love that beat so much.
So Meet the Grahams, I'll go on record and say this, because like I said, I've said all I said in the beginning to make it clear that while I'm not up on modern hip-hop, I used to listen to it quite a bit, and I also really liked diss tracks. So I used to really listen in on this and difference, because I just find it so fascinating, because they don't do that in like no country music. They're not going to diss each other, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's a very rap-specific. Your car's broke, your wife's broke, you know what I mean? Like, we don't do that.
I bet in the Wild West it was probably something.
Yeah, maybe back then. But
Wild West.
So that's why I'm like, you know, it's a very like hip-hop specific type of thing. A diss track and like a rap battle or whatever. And so I always found that very interesting. And so I listened to all of them again today, right before we got on here. And I think that Meet the Grahams might be the best, as terms of disses go, might be the best diss track, the most scathing diss track I've ever heard.
Oh, it's cold.
It's an amazing record.
Just think for a second what he did. He wrote a letter to Drake's parents, a letter to Drake's son by name, a letter to Drake's illegitimate daughter that he's claiming exists, and then at the end he writes a letter to Drake being like, this isn't a rap beef, I hate you.
With such a cold beat, too.
In fairness, this was in response to Family Matters, which...
Oh, yeah, The Alchemist produced that.
And that was really? That was a really good, yep. That was a really, really good diss track. It was also a very good track. I know the end, we're going to get into this. Internet has basically already crowned Kendrick the winner of this feud.
For sure.
So it doesn't really matter what happens at this point. Unless we find out, like, you know, Kendrick really did beat his partner, then that might change things a little bit. We find out that Drake's telling the truth, that could change things. But and obviously if we find out that Kendrick is telling the truth, that'll be a seismic shift. Yeah. But so I think Family Matters, I think he actually really did like cut pretty deep on Kendrick and Family Matters, my opinion personally. I thought it was great. But the back to, and the Heart Six is not great, in my opinion.
No.
I think he handled that. I mean, it's not great. It was fine. But he handled the main problem. Let's be honest. The main problem is the as Matt called it, that P word, the PDF files.
PDF, yep.
All right. The PDF files on the computer. That was the big problem that came out in Not Like Us. It was alluded to prior, and then he just outright said it in Not Like Us. And Drake spent way too much time talking about it. Way, way too much time talking about it. As if he was trying to convince everyone, including maybe himself, that there was no truth to any... I don't believe there's any real truth to any of things that anyone is saying. I believe that all of them are making this up. It's a rap. None of this is real. It's very important
it's
that
kayfabe.
It's very important we say that, because there's crazy people who do crazy things. But... he went in so hard on that one thing. And then, I mean, his defenses were, I can't be, I'm rich. What?
Yeah, like,
historically
that was
rich,
weird, yeah.
Yeah, historically, rich people get caught doing this all the time. And then, like, what was it? He mentioned a particular actress by name that no one else brought up. That was just, he threw that name out there all on his own.
Millie Bobby Brown, right?
Yeah, and then...
Yeah, from Stranger Things, he just brought her up.
Brought her up out of nowhere. I'm like,
really
whoa.
Young. I think she's only 20.
Yeah, I was like,
that doesn't really help your case, Drake.
Yeah, right. Like, and it'd be one thing if someone else brought her up and you're addressing that. No, he freely offered a name of a young person that he's definitely not trying to have an inappropriate relationship with. I'm like,
Yeah, she's
that's
20
a weird
years.
way.
She literally just turned 20 years old
That
last
was like,
2 months,
that's a
3 months
weird way to
ago.
defend yourself.
Yeah, come on, Drake.
It's so like
That's wild.
I the hearts the, and then the misheard lyrics from the Kendrick song. I thought it was he spent way too much time on that particular topic. So that one's not for me. But those three, the Family Matters, Meet the Grahams, and Not Like Us. And Not Like Us is kind of I kind of like it. Like outside of the diss, I like this is kind of a fun song.
It's really an LA record. It's like it sounds like an LA record.
And so yeah, those three songs in this like trio, I think that they're the best by a considerable margin. And I don't know if anyone else could have done those three songs, especially as fast as they did them.
Yeah. For
What
someone
about
who barely drops.
616? You don't like 616?
Nah, I mean, it wasn't that it was bad. None of them were bad, really. The original disses were very, very diss track. What they went after race. Because obviously, that's something that Drake specifically can get tagged with a little bit more. Went up
And
with
Kendrick
his,
revoked the pass.
yes, correct. It went after like his socioeconomic differences between the two.
Try to get under
Obviously,
his skin.
the Canadian thing, So like that was pretty like standard stuff. Same as like when Drake called him Pipsqueak. That's just very standard. Like you're making fun of somebody, so you know what I mean. Like
You
he's basically.
pipsqueak. And he
If you
called him
if you
short,
yeah
and
if
he
you die
came at
if
his whole life
yeah.
after that.
So if you look at it, it's basically Kendrick called Drake a fraud, Drake called him short, and then all of a sudden they just went after each other with like the heat of a thousand suns, after their kids, after their wives, after their parents, after crimes they've allegedly committed.
Can't say it
So
any better, bro.
yeah, so I would say the first ones are fine, but they're not. They're not those three. Those three that is a crazy jump.
I agree with mostly of what you're saying, to be honest. There's nothing really that I disagree with you, honestly, with but I want to say a lot about Drake, but I want to make a comparison before I do it. And I made this comparison
Floor is yours.
to Matt like a day or two ago, I think. And it's gonna be kind of a nerdy kind of cross reference. So this is for the nerds. At this moment, and just in general, right? Have you guys watched Samurai Jack on Toonami?
Long time ago,
Legendary. Samurai
back when it
Jack, which
was on, not Toonami, or when it was like first on, rather, on Cartoon
okay, yeah,
Network or
we're
whatever.
all millennials here,
Yeah,
so
we know
like, yeah, you
Samurai
know that.
Jack. Yes,
Yeah,
we
yeah,
do.
yeah. So and this is more recent. I don't know if you guys ever played God of War Ragnarok.
I've not. I know it, but I haven't played it.
Okay, so you've
I
heard
haven't
about
played
it.
it, but very familiar with it.
I've definitely, yeah, me and yeah, I've definitely shared some clips with Matt before too.
Definitely. It's definitely the next big game show adaptation that Hollywood's gonna go after.
Oh yeah, it's in the
Probably.
works. It's in the works. Yeah. So the reason I bring it up is because right now I see Kendrick, right? I see Kendrick as Samurai Jack. And who I see Drake as, I see him as Odin from God of War Ragnarok. Not Odin from the actual mythology, but from the Ragnarok mythology, because he's a little bit different from like the real life of it. Not too different, but there's certain specific things that I cross-reference in my head between them two. But yeah, I see Drake as Odin from God of War Ragnarok. But to talk about Kendrick, Samurai Jack, right? He's it even says it in the theme song. He's like, gotta get back to the past, Samurai Jack. Like he almost kills Haku, and then Haku sends him back and sends him to the future. And he almost got that killing blow, but then he couldn't do it. And now Samurai Jack is in like a futuristic world, right? Where he's stuck to the old samurai ways, the old swordsmanship ways, and from his era, from his time era. And he's an outsider. He doesn't understand anything that's going on in the future world. And everything is different. The whole world has changed on him. But the one thing that hasn't changed is that Samurai Jack still wants to kill Haku, and he's still a badass.
still has that, grudge against him, hasn't let it go.
Yeah, that grudge and I cross reference it to with Kendrick, because you know his pen is really his sword. Kendrick is really a throwback. Even when you listen to Mr. Morale, even when you think back to Section 80, the overly dedicated mixtape, the Good Kid, Mad City, all of that. He's really one of the last true hip hop artists in a like a SoundCloud bubblegum
world. Kinda,
yeah.
A true so MC, like, if you will.
Yes. Yep. Yes. True MC. He embodies that. And he's probably the last. I would consider this beef probably the last real hip hop beef.
You don't think
The Ringer wrote a whole thing about that?
You don't think the Little Candy Paint and him beefing with Little Meatball gonna get big? I'm kidding.
Little Meatball.
Nah,
I'm team Little Meatball, because I assume he's an Italian guy from Staten Island.
I'm kidding.
That's because you guys haven't listened to Little Toenail.
Toenail.
When I put y'all on the Little Toenail, it'll change the conversation. But either way, that's for another day. So yeah, I see Kendrick as that, and in his world, Haku is Drake. You know, that's the person to get to. And I didn't really cross-reference Haku to Drake because it's a little different. I like the Odin reference better because when we look at Odin from God of War Ragnarok, to tell you a little bit about him. So he's portrayed more as like a mobster, right? Mm-hmm. And he's a god. He's a god, but what I would call his biggest strength is his ability to manipulate and his ability to gather worldly things and to basically have the world on his side and conquer everything, because he conquered all the nine realms in God of War Ragnarok. And that's like Drake right now. He'll go to Atlanta, pick up an artist from Atlanta, get them hot, then lead them to die, just like Odin did with the dwarves and I think Svartalfheim. I forget the names of the realms are kind of weird.
That's all right though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You guys get the point. And then, you know, it's like, you know, he'll go to New York and mess with a rapper and then, you know, just use them for a look and then, you know, do nothing for them after. And that's kind of like Odin. Every realm that he went to, he wanted to conquer, and he left it worse than when he came in. And he used it completely to his benefit. And he's someone that he thinks if he has everything, like these worldly things, he thinks he can always win. If he could find something out that the other person doesn't know, he will win. Or if he has a magic that he can use, he'll win. And that's like with Drake when he said to Kendrick, "You want to take up for Pharrell? Then come get the legacy out of my house with all the Pharrell chains, which were dope." I'm gonna go biblical on Drake soon, but I do respect the fact that he collected those on Star Trek chains. Like, those are really classic chains. I am jealous of that. I'm not gonna hold you, but and the thing is, with Odin at the end of God of War Ragnarok, you know, Atreus is talking to him. You know, God of War Ragnarok, pretty much Odin kills his own son Thor. You know, as soon as he disobeys him, he kills him. And that could be a reference to, like, I don't know, The Weeknd, you know, how he ruined his relationship with The Weeknd. I don't know. But the point I'm trying to get to is that at the end, Odin basically tells Atreus tries to get him to the good side. And Odin says, I can't help it. I need to have it. I need to know more. I can't stop until I know everything. I can't stop. And then he dies. And then a dwarf comes and crushes the vessel that his soul went to. And that was pretty funny. But and I see Drake right now as, you know, obviously, you know, like Ryan said before, I see him as a loser, just as the loser at this moment, as the rest of the internet sees it as well. But yeah, it's just he's fighting a battle that he'll never win. And that was Odin's thing. Grow a lie to him about the prophecy, and Odin was working on a false prophecy. Drake was working probably on false info about Kendrick. You know, it's not proven that he beat his wife. You know,
oh, none of it's proven. To be just gotta be clear again.
You're right.
For anyone
right.
listening, none of it's proven. Please do not harass these
Well,
individuals.
no, you're right. Yeah, not a lot has been proven, but some weird stuff has been shown about Drake, and I'll get to that soon. But just to finish off that reference, yeah, I see Drake as the one losing and the one that was always meant to ultimately lose because he can't fight, someone like Samurai Jack, who's true to the sword and hasn't missed a step. And you don't see him a lot, but he hasn't missed a step. And I think the culture has shown that. And not to be too long-winded, but like Drake has been completely exposed here. In my mind, he's been completely exposed. There were things that came up, when the PDF accusations came out, these were things that were fooling around for a while. And with Drake being like the top rapper in the world and one of the top artists in the world in the past few years, like no one's going to touch that, right? No one's going to touch that subject when it comes to him, probably ruin a relationship or a connection with him. KDOT doesn't care.
He
KDOT
has
doesn't
nothing to
care at all.
lose.
He has
Right, no.
nothing to lose. He knows who he is and he knows what he does. And the thing is, like Drake has kind of shown himself to be a little bit immature in this, where Kendrick, Drake comes out with a braggadocious Family Matters, which I did like. I'm not gonna lie, it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool. I can't lie completely, but he had too many targets to shoot at. He didn't get. I don't really feel like those any shots at KDOT really landed, but KDOT went directly, like Ryan said, KDOT went directly for his family. Right, wrote a creative record without using AI, without using some AI stuff, and I.
Legally, I just want to, sorry, legally
Yeah.
speaking, Drake legally can't be using AI. I will put it that way. If it came out that Drake was using AI in a proven way, he'd lose a lot of money because of his contract. Just again, want to throw that bit of information out there.
No, for sure, for sure. Yeah, I don't think the Tupac estate was too happy about it either.
No, that was a real problem actually, because he used it. Yeah, they
Yeah.
pulled that. You can't hear that song anywhere now.
The fact that he used it in a diss song too was kind of corny. If he had used it in a creative concept for a song on an album, that'd have been cool. I'm not gonna lie, I would
Sure,
have
yeah.
liked it. But to use it as a diss against KDOT, like you, that was yeah. Like I said before, he was fighting a battle, and Drake is still fighting a battle that he was never gonna win, and he can't win. And then Kendrick comes out, and then he's really digging to the soul, like digging to the to really trying to get under Drake's skin, digging to who he is as a person, the very fabric of his being. And it's just different. You hear it in the music. Some people are gonna like Drake. They're gonna like the braggadocious stuff. That's more of the 50 Cent lane.
And
And
you've also not, I do keep that thought. I'm just saying, you also see for the people who really defend Drake, and there is a good amount. I can't
he's got
deny that.
fans. He's got fans, yeah.
It's crazy.
But they're completely wrong. And go and keep explaining why they're being delusional on this, please.
Well,
Keep finishing your thought.
a lot of those fans are young, man. Like Drake really did go to pop route, and he's been dropping albums yearly, year after year. You got him, give him the credit for being consistent. Because, like Jadakiss said, hard work beats talent when talent don't work hard. But in this case, it doesn't really apply because KDOT really just like crushed him completely in this, with his hiatus and just coming out with a with a with Meet the Grams. That was my favorite diss track. After Family Matters, the fact he dropped it an hour later. And if you check on YouTube, the numbers say it. And numbers really shouldn't matter. I think that's KDOT's whole point. That, like you said, it's a lot of goofies with a check. You don't care about that. KDOT doesn't care about that. But the funny thing is, he's Samurai Jack. He got it no matter what. The numbers say it. The numbers tell the story. The culture, it looks like the culture is messing with KDOT in this. And with not like us, the fact that he dropped that, I honestly didn't think KDOT was capable of dropping like that. To me, that's like a piggy bank record. For them, that's a West Coast anthem right now that, all the OGs are like crip walking to on Instagram and TikTok and shit. It's actually really funny. But
That's got a lot of cross. I think that's got a lot of cross audience appeal too. As some again,
I saw
I
people.
like that song.
I was at a bar where they were playing
Yeah.
those two songs, that track. It's really
They
that
not
cool.
like
And if
us.
it,
They not like. Sorry.
no, you're right. You're good. You're good.
Yeah.
Keep it. Keep. I encourage that energy. And assuming they're really coming up with all these well-produced, mostly not all, but most, if those six tracks, mostly well-produced tracks within hours of each other.
I know,
and they're
right?
clearing their schedules, clear, they're busy people. Like, nah, this is more important. And this will get any attention that you're looking for that someone in the PR department is trying to drag you in. Like, nah, I am going for this. There is literal dignity on the line and reputations are on the line. Most important. That's probably the biggest thing here is legitimate reputations on the line after this. And even if we talked about, and we'll finish it towards the end because I still want to hear your guys' points, but just remember, people will remember how these artists are people will remember how these artists, sorry, these people will remember the legacy of these two artists solely between this time and 2024. I think it's that much at stake if you care. Not solely, not on a not on a world-renowned level, not on an entire body of work, but this moment, this beef is pivotal in seeing where you go after the fact. Like, they're definitely Rock Roll Hall of Famers, if you care about that. They're definitely hip-hop legends, but, I mean, yeah, maybe Drake's on. But how you're perceived after the fact.
If Drake didn't do that, then he will be.
Right.
I wanted to say, though,
I just want to finish my point and then all you two. Like in J. Cole, who was originally in this, who bowed out, whether that was righteous or not, people remember J. Cole as you're the dude who ran away from the
big
smoke.
Three. Yep. You were the big three until you decided you weren't anymore. You stepped aside and now there's just two. There's no big three.
And
I would agree with that 100%.
And he personally shouldn't care. And he has so much money that he's literally laughing his way to the bank. But if you care about in the sense of a legacy, how you will be remembered, I think he should take it a little more seriously.
Yeah, he gave up his spot.
It's over him. And now we'll have these two titans coming at it, see bar for bar where this goes. Please continue your point, Ryan. And
so I was going to say, my only thing with this, and with all the talk on the internet, we know how fans get. We're fans of a lot of different things. So talk about the, this could ruin somebody. Obviously, crimes are bad. But assuming there's no crimes, both Kendrick Lamar and Drake belong to Universal Music Group. So the only people who are actually winning, truly, like, is Kendrick winning? Is Drake winning? No, Universal Music Group is winning because all of their numbers are shooting through the roof on streaming right now. They are some of the most watched clips on YouTube right now because of these diss tracks. And you know what they're never going to let happen? They're never going to let one of these two people who right now they're, like Matt said, they're the titans, right? They're the two people on top. They're the last two great rap stars. They have different philosophies that, one is the last MC. The other one is like one of the first pop star rappers, right? Like Drake back at the beginning has always been kind of pop meets hip hop. He was always looking for that mainstream connection. So, Kendrick's the last of an old breed. Drake is the original of the new breed of this, pop-centric hip-hop sound that was predominant when I was listening in the 2000s and 2010s. And so they're going to make sure both these folks stay as high up on people's minds as possible the whole time. Neither one of them is going to be able to get rid of the other one because Universal Music Group gets paid off of all of it. I think there's a famous rap diss track called No Vaseline that states that. You guys can look up the lyrics. I'm too white to give you the lyrics right now. But
from the great Ice Cube.
Yeah, Ice Cube made it very clear that there's certain individuals who get paid off of all of the beef. And that's what's happening with Universal Music Group right now. So anyone who thinks that one of them is going to win, no. Universal is going to win because they're going to keep both of them standing. They're going to prop them up Weekend at Bernie style, make them keep hitting each other and just taking that money if they need it. So I think that's important. I don't know where this ends, but it ends with, it ends with Universal making a lot more money and keeping both of their cash cows pretty well situated so they could always revisit it down the road if they want to. And that might be the most insidious part of all of this. We're going after people's families. And there's a large corporation that's just making tons and tons of money off of it, and they're gonna keep it happening because it's what makes them money. They're this is the most money they've probably made off of both these artists in a really long time. So I don't know. I think there's something interesting about that.
I wonder if Kendrick will eventually address that he's putting money into Drake's pocket every time he takes a piece of his soul. And I wonder if, and I wonder if Drake will ever acknowledge that every time he makes, you know, a major track in belittles Kendrick for not being, you know, a hit maker. The hit money is going to Kendrick on his next deal too, because all of it goes Universal. So they're both like, it's so weird how they're together in so many ways. They're so well linked and yet they're opposites. It's just so strange. But yeah, the universal aspect of this is something I haven't seen fans talk about because it's still really exciting to get into the who's hitting who and how hard are they hitting them. But hopefully the fans will eventually realize that, because I think that's important too.
My only caveat to that is I just don't think, I think they really care more about just like, sure, because you're just at the end of the day talking more corporate stuff, being corporate, money. And everything you said is true about that. But I think beyond that, beyond the corporate title with this, they really want to see who is the one to really establish that. Nobody can truly mess with me. Nobody will dare to do a diss track against me. Nobody will question my legacy. And for a wrestling reference, it's easy to say, but I think it's true. Who's the one to acknowledge the other? And I think that beyond the insane deep pockets these people will get, I think that's even a little more important there because you'll
Certainly to
still
the
make,
two. Yeah. Certainly to Drake and Kendrick. Yes, I agree. They're doing this for ego. 100%. They want to know who's the best, who can't, you know, who's going to be the untouchable one. I agree, Matt. I was just kind of on the side.
Of
Behind all of
course.
this, there's a group of people who you've never heard of just going like
The Jerry Trainer.
Oh yeah, they're making real money off of this. I think in this case it's a rare thing where like, you know, the labels win and also the fans win. That's rare. It's rare when the labels win and the fans win. I think the fans are winning. And like Ryan said, people are just caught up in the battle right now. So people aren't realizing that yeah, Universal's banking right now on all of
From
us.
both, right? They don't care who wins.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Especially with just the random drops and the like the YouTube revenue of like Euphoria. I saw 2 days ago at 15 million, and that's hundreds of thousands of dollars alone that Kendrick will make off that one track. That maybe, and then I hope I there's got to be some awesome documentary someday that'll come out in the next 5 years. Maybe I mean it should be longer, but these people make these documentaries quick. Explaining this, I just want to know like, especially just the song, the producing the songs right away, and it shows similarly to the when we were talking about the bridge cleanup in the sense that if you really want something and you have the money
Yeah,
for it, you will produce it.
it'll
If money
happen.
is no, if money is no object and time is not a problem, you could do some pretty incredible things. Too bad that's not most people's every day.
Seriously, Della, what else you have to say? Then we'll do some final thoughts on this and go through a few more stories that we have left.
Well, I guess to finish it off, I could have been a lot more harsh on Drake. I'm being 100% honest with you, and I wanted to originally be, but I think everyone got their points out, and I guess yeah, we're all kind of on the same like agreeance and kind of the same level here. But and I like that. But I want to make one more comparison, or a cross reference, I guess. So, being a boxing fan, I used to really study, and I mean study to a T, Floyd Mayweather Jr. I've watched so many fights of his, from Demarcus Corley to Diego Corrales to Oscar to Robert Guerrero, all of them, Pacquiao, all of them. One thing that he always said about his career, and I don't know if you remember Floyd Mayweather Jr. As he was rising through the ranks, he didn't, nobody really liked him. People hated Floyd Mayweather Jr. Probably for good reason, you know. Beating your baby mother in front of your kid, you know,
Right.
that'll
Not
make you
great.
lose fans. Yeah, that'll make you lose fans. You know, just being racist towards Mexicans and Filipinos. Yeah, you're probably gonna lose fans. Some people didn't like him saying all lives matter. You know, you're gonna lose some fans there. The thing he would say that no one could really argue with is that I feel like no one could argue with is that he would say like Americans don't back me. If I, he said if he was Mexican or if he was Japanese or something else, that his country would have his back. but because he's American, everyone's critical of him and nobody likes him. And, you know, like, he always wanted that. It's something that you could tell kind of that I believe kind of bothered Floyd, that America didn't really have his back. And that people didn't like him. You know, he was revered more better after his career, but I see this as an opportunity for, like, you know, with Kendrick being from Compton, LA, I see it as, and I'm an East Coast guy as we are as well. But, like, you know, that's still kind of home team where, you know, it's still, you know, he's West Coast. Like, that's culture that we grew up on from America kind of thing. And I kind of see it as a home team thing. I almost have to go with K-Dot thinking about that kind of stuff. You know, I think about, you know, Mayweather Jr. not getting the flowers he deserved during his career, you know. And, you know, just how critical, I guess, Americans can be towards, like, you know, artists and just people in general, entertainers and stuff like that. That's part of, like, my thing. Like, you know, I got to ride with home team. I can't ride with Toronto. I can't ride with Canada. I like Carr. Carr's cool. She's real cool. I'm sorry. I cannot ride with Canada on this one. Yeah, I got to ride with home team, and it's K-Dot all the way. And I think he's clearing it.
Man, I think you said it best, bro. Let me say this respectfully, for all those Drake and OVO fans who definitely, you know, like who you like, the Drakeys, but I don't get how you can hear any of these tracks, especially on a lyrical level, a creative level, and downright entertaining level, and say that this guy is better than Kendrick Lamar. Let's be real. There's nothing wrong with being a number two. There's nothing wrong with being a Scottie Pippen or being a, you know, being a Kyrie,
like,
or
Charlemagne
LeBron.
Said, like Charlemagne said, put your number twos in the air if you did it on them.
Yeah. But seriously, Kendrick Lamar stated with many reasons and with many different voices, cadences, and lyrics that he is way better than Drake in this beef. And if anybody doubts me, please DM me. I would love to have a conversation about it. But Kendrick is no doubt, and I hope this just ends with, you know, nobody getting hurt, where it does turn into war and then nobody wins. But ultimately, Kendrick Lamar is the greatest to ever do it in this generation, and he's better than Drake.
And I'll end this by saying I checked today, because on our previous versions of this, I usually took the Drake side of all of this. I have on my Spotify liked songs 10 Kendrick Lamar tracks to 6 Drake tracks. I want to make that clear when I say this next bit. Kendrick, as well as Drake, has gone with calling Drake the hitmaker. Now, Kendrick is doing it a little bit tongue-in-cheek. Drake certainly dead serious when he says it. But I think there's something to that. However, a hit, you don't have to be good to be famous. You don't have to have, a hit doesn't have to be the, you know, a masterpiece. I think that Kendrick has consistently proven that from all of the most technical levels, with the exception of maybe the number of people bobbing their head along on the radio, which is a big number in music. It's how you get paid. But with that one exception, Kendrick has outclassed Drake pretty thoroughly. As Matt said, the lyrics are better. I would say that the songs, even just for, like, they're more fun. Except for, I mean, not that Meet the Grams is fun, but you get what I'm saying. Like, they're all more interesting. Bars. They're all more fun. They're all lyrically better. I don't think this changes the hitmaker thing. I think there's a reason that both of them have landed on that nickname for Drake, because I think it's true. We don't have to like it, right. But was it One Dance? One Dance is a silly. I was looking today at all their top songs. Has a silly amount of downloads on Spotify, like ridiculous. I didn't even know that many people were on Spotify. To put it wow. That way. So I think this won't change that. He'll still make plenty of hits. There'll be plenty of people dancing to Drake songs next year, the year after, 2 years after. In a club, in a bar, whatever. But when people talk about, you know, rap music
like history, I think the only time Drake's gonna come up is right now.
Oh,
It's when he lost to Kendrick. He's a phenomenal, very, again, phenomenal artist. He has all the accolades he could ever want. He'll make tons more money, provided he's not a criminal. But he will always be in like the history of rap music. Whereas I think when you look at the last real beef, we haven't said it yet, but let's be honest, it's like Tupac and Biggie. We've been alluding to it all night. No one ever really said, I mean, people have a preference, but everyone kind of assumes like it was even. I think that this chapter of rap history is going to pretty well say that the two biggest stars duked it out again. And this time somebody actually won. I don't think there's any way around that. Again, I like Drake. I've defended him on this show. I think some of the songs are good. Family Matters, I think, is great. It's probably in the top
It's a
of these
bop.
six tracks.
It's a bop.
So no disrespect. He's clearly head and shoulders better than most anyone else in rap right now in terms of at that level, but he's been outclassed. And maybe he was, again, maybe you're right, it was destiny. Maybe there was a version where he, focused a little less on some of the claims, a little more on pointing out Kendrick's weaknesses, which there are some. And again, Family Matters does a great job of pointing them out, I think personally. But he didn't do that, and he can't take it back. So I think that when it's all over, that's what we're going to be thinking about for years to come.
I knew Drake was a pop star when he released Marvin's Room.
Nah.
That
He
was
has a
the end
song
of it.
called Pop Star,
Oh, shoot.
which I happen to really like, by the
Oh,
way. It's a
Drake and
DJ Khaled
Kendrick.
song with
Drake and
Drake called Pop
Kendrick.
Star. It's a great song. I like it.
Drake and Kendrick, am I right?
You're right.
We're as productive as that was as productive a conversation as you can have, and we will see where this all goes. So let's fit in a few more stories for the tweet cap that will be the record for longest one segment, but rightfully so. Not a problem at all. Just quickly, two things. One story that literally just dropped now. I just had to share it. It's funny enough. And then we'll go to the other thing I've been looking forward to talking about. Or I'll save that at the end. But Gilbert Arenas, you guys know who he is, former
I
NBA
do.
All-Star, co-nightcap host. And he has another show, the Gilbert Arena Show. So NBA playoffs are now, and don't forget to check out our NBA playoff show throughout the entire NBA postseason. Me and Fresh Faces as we've been covering the NBA playoffs. So game one, sorry. So right now, Minnesota Timberwolves are playing the Denver Nuggets. Game two of that series is Tuesday night. Sorry, no, it's Monday night. They're playing that tonight. And Timberwolves are up 1-0, and cornering the reigning champions. Rudy Gobert just had a child today. He had a child today.
He had a kid.
He became a father today. Shouts to the center for the Timberwolves.
Yeah, he's a hell
Probably
of a
one,
center. Hell yeah.
yeah, and probably one of the only, probably one of only two people in the entire league who could actually guard Jokic. So
Yeah.
in all seriousness, that's a big deal. Like, Jokic literally doesn't even try, and he's turning into an all-time great. And why the Nuggets are such a heavy favorite because of him. And you have the one player who can actually go toe-to-toe with him, but he is on paternity leave.
Oh, he's on paternity leave.
So here's the thing. Gilbert Arenas literally on the Gilbert Arenas show
Oh,
getting
God, it's
prepared
such filler.
for this game and to
Good
watch
to
it.
see it already.
All right, Gilbert Arenas, here's the tweet just 10 minutes ago. Gilbert Arenas calls out Rudy Gobert for missing a playoff game for the birth of his child. The quote is, "It's a b hear this. It's a baby, bro. It's going to be there when you get back." I swear to God, that's an actual quote. And
I agree.
yeah, do you agree or not, or should he just wait?
Obviously, I disagree with Gilbert Arenas's.
It's a baby,
It'll
bro.
be there when you get back.
And
No.
he's literally hours old.
Listen, family is forever. When you can win it next year.
No,
You
he
can't.
can't.
You
No, sir.
can't. You can win it next year, and you know what? If you never win the championship, but you can look your
son or daughter in the eye and say, "I didn't make a game more important than you," I think that's worth it. I do see why, if you're a fan, you might be a little bit like, I don't, anyone who just thinks totally without any hesitation that the right answer is to go play basketball, I don't know what to tell you. You're insane. But I could see, as a fan, you might be like, what if, like, can you do both? Can't you be there in the morning? And we'll let you skip practice, but can you please come in time? Like, go in your shorts, right? Like, meet them in your uniform and come at halftime. Like, I could see how a fan might really want to try and figure out a way for him to play. But
In
yeah,
Gilbert
I think
Arenas.
Gilbert Arenas. Yeah. But ultimately, I do think that this is the right decision for years to come. I don't believe he would regret this decision. Whereas if he made the opposite decision, I think he'd probably still lose the game anyway, and then he'd instantly regret not being there
Oh,
when his
shit.
child was born. That's
Oh,
my thought.
man. Oh, man. He got AE. He got Anthony Edwards right now, bro. He has Karl Anthony Towns, bro. They're not injured, bro. They need him, bro. They need him. The baby can wait. Well, now, all right. So, to be for real, nah, yeah, I get it. Nah, yeah. The baby was literally just born, and they having these kind of conversations is absolutely nuts. That is wild. That is absolutely nuts. But I
Baby
mean,
will be there.
it's just bad timing, bro. It's like, it's just bad timing. I know Gobert's been in the league for a little while.
He started COVID. He
Oh
started
yeah. Oh, he
COVID,
did do the COVID thing. Oh, I forgot about that. Oh yeah, he
yeah.
has a reputation to clean up. Nah, he's got to go get a championship. But like,
All's
this is
forgiven.
tough. They pay these guys a lot of money, man. So I could, I understand it. I do understand it. But if the team let him go on paternity leave, then I mean that's the team's decision.
They
They felt
probably
that
have
was
to. To be clear, I think they legally probably have to, but
probably.
also I think it's the right choice.
We will just have to see how the game two goes,
Maybe
pretty
they
much
win.
with
What if
that.
they win without him?
I mean,
Do it for the
that'd
baby.
be insane.
The
Minnesota
team.
goes up 2-0 on the road against the reigning champions, who are a heavy favorite. You might have a
Without.
chance.
Oh, I got something to say. I just started something. Chris Sean Rock, the girl that was going out with Blueface, she had a baby and took that baby on a tour, on a national
Oh
nationwide
my
tour from
God.
club to club, from
That's
Love and Hip
significantly less good than missing a basketball game.
Yeah, no, it's horrible. Okay, it is a horrible example, but it's possible in a universe, I guess.
It is possible. He could have missed it for sure.
Is crazy. I
Oh
feel bad
man.
for the baby.
Let me just go to the next segment to save time. The Rock. We're about to do a Rock story. Not wrestling, but The Rock has been getting into some heat. Hear this, right? Last week it was reported that Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Ryan Reynolds, who were stars of the movie Red Notice, allegedly got in a legitimate fight after the wrestler continually would lie. Ah, fuck. Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Ryan Reynolds allegedly got into a fight while filming Red Notice after the wrestler constantly arrived late to set. Come on. The Rock, man, what a 6 months this guy has had. I mean, obviously, the wrestling stuff has been well covered here. He is one of the big reasons why wrestling is mainstream again. At the same time, his Hollywood career took a huge PR hit after the epic failure of Black Adam.
Black Adam.
While trying to hold together his Hollywood career, rejuvenize wrestling, and, just trying to be the final boss he is. We also are hearing reports of him being difficult to work with on set, which is something you do not want to be known as in Hollywood. And then you have Ryan Reynolds, who really is one of the biggest stars, if not just as big or bigger than The Rock, and them having a fight allegedly, which nobody has confirmed or denied in the last 6 days.
Wait, a physical
And
fight?
yeah, allegedly a legitimate fight
You
with,
couldn't pay me to physically fight The Rock.
well, Ryan Reynolds is Deadpool. He's ripped.
I mean, it's what they'd hit the gym is other than to be The Rock.
Yeah, I
The
agree.
Rock's The Rock is 6'11", and it has nothing to do with the gym.
Seriously.
But I'm just saying, though, why is The Rock? Why you for somebody who, and I love The Rock. No one loves The Rock as much as me.
That's true.
But like, he can't. practice what you preach about being, the great person I do think are. But if you're just being tardy all the time, getting in fights with A-list celebrities and just being known as difficult to work with, it's kind of hard to, uphold that. It's definitely great to add for your Rock heel character, but not everybody's a wrestling fan. So I can't, unfortunately, wrestling isn't real life. That's what they tell me, but
it's fake.
But the thing is here, though, regardless for Dwayne Johnson, though, who beyond the wrestling aspect, known as this hard worker and, be good to people and all of that, it just sucks to hear that he's allegedly a pain in the ass to work with.
Yeah. I don't know that I feel that that's... I don't know that I'm surprised by that allegation. I told you that, Matt. Selfishly, I do like that this is going to free him up for more of my stuff. Because he's not going to get as many gigs. But, I don't know that I'm shocked that The Rock, especially now, has a bit of an ego. One of the biggest stars on the planet. And he didn't come necessarily from, say what you will about, Nepo babies, right? But because they grew up in that, environment, because they grew up in, the fame circle, they kind of know how to be famous. Like, they grew up learning how to be famous. It was part of their childhood, learning how to do that. And The Rock, I mean, his father was a wrestler, so in that circle, he had a bit of an advantage, but not in global superstardom like he is currently now. So he's a regular person who ended up being the biggest star on the planet for a time being anyway. And so the idea that he maybe let that get to his head, that doesn't shock me. I think it'd get to my head if I were The Rock. So I don't know that this will completely ruin his chance. I mean, I know he keeps talking about how he wants to do real movies and go for awards and serious projects. This will probably hurt that. Because no serious directors and serious casts are going to deal with, The Rock big leaguing them every term. Mm. But a big budget action movie looking for a marquee to draw people in every summer, they're never going to say no to The Rock. You know what I mean? Like Jumanji 14, they're not going to be like, Rock was way too hard to work with. They basically Jumanji sell that thing 14. Off the back of, no, they sell those things off the back of The Rock and Kevin Hart. So I think he'll be just fine in terms of his career, but he may not get to reach his personal goals of, achieving critical acclaim if the critically successful actors and directors find him to be a bit too, boorish and a bit too full of himself to work with.
Well, I mean, you guys are more wrestling fans than me, but I am... Clearly, I'm a millennial, so of course I'm well aware of The Rock.
And, who The Rock is, yeah.
Yeah, I would say I know a little bit. I know a little bit. It doesn't surprise me, honestly, that to hear something like that. I agree. It really wouldn't surprise me. I mean, even heard with people I guess before Kanye kind of villainized himself in the media, there were always rumors of him being a prick, a really
Kanye?
Like a nasty person. So none of it should really surprise you. I mean, it's just, I know The Rock is almost like a Michael Jordan where he's just one of those permanently famous people.
Yes.
And people are always going to know him. He's just a huge star. So just off rip, just off of that alone, I would believe he'd probably maybe walk around with an ego, treat people some people might be lower than him in his mind, but I know he's I know he's talked about political stuff. I almost have a feeling he wants to be a president, he wants to run for presidency.
I mean, he said it out loud multiple times. Did?
I'm not gonna lie, I never heard him say it. It just seemed like it because he talked about it one time. I heard on.
But then he says he's not gonna do it. He goes back and forth. To be clear, since obviously I think The Rock is entitled to feel like he's conquered the world because he has, right? I don't know that means you can be mean to people or you can be late and waste people's times. But when I'm saying that, I'm not saying it. I'm not trying to be like judgment call. The Rock's a jerk. I'm just saying the idea that The Rock has an ego, not surprising. Like people who have done far less good for society, success in their career, have an ego. So the idea that The Rock, who has done a lot of good for people and who has been very successful, would also have an ego, I think, is unsurprising. That's kind of the point I was making. I'm not going to make the judgment call. I believe it. I don't believe it. You know, that makes him a good person, makes Ryan Reynolds a bad person or a good person. I'm not going to get into any of that. Just not at all shocked, in my opinion.
You know, I wouldn't be shocked if it was true. But I did see that it's kind of funny that him and Ryan Reynolds had a real fight, because I saw some footage of The Rock training for MMA. I think he's thinking about that move. He might be thinking about jumping into the octagon.
Yeah, he's doing an MMA movie. That's what
he's doing. A movie, yeah. Yeah, he's not going in there for real. 50
he
something
might.
Years old.
He might not. I mean, well, CM Punk was pretty old when he did, but that was a bad move for CM Punk as well.
Like, that was, I mean, yeah. I think The Rock, by the way, as big as he is, would be a worse move. He's old. I mean, he hurt himself.
He really is old, huh?
He hurt himself this past April. And like, yeah, it's not.
Oh, okay. I wasn't. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah. So that's out of the question.
He's not fit enough. His bones and his muscles, they're not attached to his body the way they need to be an actual MMA fighter.
it seems like he had just enough for Ryan Reynolds, at least. So that's good.
Well, yeah, I was about to ask to end the segment, Matt. Rock versus Ryan Reynolds. Who do you have?
Wants to go with the people's champ on this one.
Okay, I agree. I'm with you, Matt.
All right.
Yeah, you can't pick Ryan Reynolds in that fight. You can't do that.
All right, final story right here, guys. And let's get into it right here. Sunday night was the roast of Tom Brady. A huge success for Netflix. It's pretty much Tom Brady went to the LA Forum and got roasted by his old teammates, his old coaches, various comedians, various celebrities, and everybody was talking about it all over Twitter. Nobody held back. People went in, and it was a very, very funny night. Guys, what did you think about this? What were some of the best jokes you heard from this event? And, man, Tom Brady is a good sport, I'll tell you that. And maybe he didn't have too much to lose. All people can really make fun of is maybe him kissing his kids and the divorce. But, I mean, man, people had plenty to say about Tom Brady. They also had plenty of things to say about the other people in the room. Gronk was attacked a lot for being called stupid. Nikki Glaser as a slut. Kevin Hart being short.
A short joke. Bill Bell. What's his name?
What?
Oh, Tony, like, what the heck?
Tony Hinchcliffe?
Name? His short joke for Kevin Hart, man? I won't say it, but when you could say it if you know it.
Oh, man. And then we have Bill Belichick getting roasted. And I'll say my favorite joke of the entire night, I'll be on the record with this, was when Tom Brady goes on, he talks about, you know, I love all these different rings you got me, Bill, but my favorite ring of all is the ring camera that was on that poor girl's front porch catching you leaving the act, which, Ryan, I told you we covered that on the tweet cap.
We did.
That's Bill Belichick. You didn't say it was. And Bill Belichick, he may have not confirmed or denied, but with that smirk and that joke being brought up, Bill Belichick was getting some ass. And wherever the hell he was.
If Tom Brady brought it up, then that means it's pretty well established that that was Bill Belichick.
Yeah, finally.
Oh, I do remember you guys talking about this. Yeah.
Yeah, if Tom Brady felt he could bring that up on TV, on Netflix like that, then he had to be pretty confident that was what was going on. I'm going to say the person who got roasted hardest was Aaron Hernandez. They kicked the living snot out of Aaron Hernandez. Probably rightfully so. I'll throw that out there. But in terms of my favorite jokes, I did like Nikki Glaser's crypto joke. But she's like, "How did you get scammed out of all that?" Even Gronk knew this money no real. that was a good one. The whole I keep get saying his name wrong. Tony Hinchcliffe.
Exactly. Hinchcliffe. You said it right.
Hinchcliffe. Okay. Yes. His entire bit was funny. He just literally walked down the line. I don't like Andrew Schultz that much. I thought it was really funny when he made fun of him. The Bert Kreischer joke I thought was also very funny. With the, it looks like the Tiger King and Oh God, and the Liver King, if their liver got it
Oh
only
yeah,
River
he said
King
a
and their liver
crazy
got
joke.
beat up or looked like Martin Luther King after getting beat up by
By
Rodney King.
Roddy King.
Yeah, it was a whole King-based joke. I thought that was very funny. That whole stretch that he did when he went down the line was very funny. And yeah, and then Tom Brady again, he did really well. I like the shots he took at the Bills. I thought that was kind of fun as well. You know, he kept it some football jokes for the football crowd while also addressing his wife leaving him and all that. The kiss your coach thing. The karate. Who I forget who even told that joke. That was a pretty good one too. Because I think that was Kevin Hart. That was Kevin Hart because his wife he was making fun of Giselle for macking on her karate coach. So yeah. Again, everyone's very funny. Except with one exception. Matt told me I wasn't allowed to like that Kim Kardashian made an OJ joke. I thought the
No,
OJ
I
joke
just
was
said
funny.
Kim Kardashian wasn't funny. Kim K, no, listen. I won't harp on this for too much, but all I'm saying, Kim K, you probably realize this. You can't be this dim-witted to notice. If you're not pretty much an executive that could get the money, no one likes you. No, what people literally are upset when they see you. People aren't inspired by you. People definitely, I can respect you staying relevant by any means necessary to do that. But Kim, oh my God.
Well, I'm just gonna say Kim Kardashian Esquire, by the way.
All right, fine. I will give you credit for that, for her credit
I
for
did
that.
think that the one OJ joke at the very beginning was funny. She's like, I feel bad for you, Tom, for everyone taking shots at you, but I think my family has defended enough former football players. I thought that was very funny. And that was the only funny part of the set, but it made
You
me
said it
laugh.
funnier.
Oh, thank you.
It's a Ryan joke.
I've claimed it. My family, that's right. My dad, Robert Kardashian, defended O.J. Simpson.
Oh man.
But anyway, no, in all seriousness, I think everyone did a serviceable job at the bare minimum. Most people did a great job. And yeah, it was funny.
Yeah, that Tony Hinchcliffe guy, he's awesome. He's
Yeah,
awesome,
he's
but
here
I
to
just
stay. We've talked about his show, right? He's the
Kill
he
Tony,
is Kill Tony,
yes.
yeah.
Amazing. He sold out Madison Square Garden in 2 nights for a show, for a podcast that's mostly on YouTube. He's the real deal. A Joe Rogan disciple.
Oh, that's good. So he'll end up in Crazy Town eventually, but for now he's funny.
Yeah, no, that guy's awesome. That guy is awesome. That the way he ended his rant and getting that Kim Kardashian, that was hilarious. Yeah, like just and then when it panned to her face, she's like laughing, but then like she's like looking around. And I was like, I think it cut a little deep. It was pretty funny, you
Oh,
know. I
yeah.
think it cut a little deep. But I guess I thought it was a pretty good roast. I mean, I saw the part where Bob Ross, I think that's his name, or
Jeff Ross.
Jeff
Jeff
Ross.
Ross. Yeah.
He made the jokes with the
Robert Kraft.
with Robert Kraft. Thank you. And
Tom shut it down.
he didn't like that one. He did not like that one. But
That's the
like,
only time Tom Brady shut anything down. It wasn't even about him. That was crazy.
yeah, that was interesting. That was
Said, don't
interesting.
do that again.
That was pretty funny. Yeah,
Yeah. Do you
that one
think, by the
got
way, do you think that was real? Do you think he was
me. I
legitimately
do.
upset?
I do.
Oh, okay, shoot.
Because the way that Jeff Ross responded, it was like with that giggle. He's like, okay. And he was like laughing when he said it. And that was, I think, him trying to cover the fact that he had no idea Tom Brady was about to come up and say that. Yeah, so I think that that was very much real, that Robert Kraft's legal issues are not something that Tom Brady wants brought up.
Well, we'll see. We know what side he's on with between him and Bill, but ultimately, what a great night. So funny. Good stuff all in all. And they definitely have to do this again. And what athlete or celebrity do you think would you pick who has the balls to get destroyed like that? Like, for instance, I don't think Patrick Mahomes is somebody who's, I think he's admittedly saying he's very shy. I don't think he would
Yeah, no, he wouldn't
take
do
that
that.
smoke. But who? The Kelce? Oh,
The
Travis Kelce.
Kelseys.
That'd be funny. That would be funny.
That would
If
be
you did
funny.
both of them too, did the Kelce brothers get them both on there?
Yeah.
You could, I think you could do a roast of the Kelce brothers as soon as Travis retires. I think that would be perfect.
Or should be good either way, but regardless, we will see where it goes. excellent show from Ryan, Dolo Ren. Much love to you guys. And we'll see if we're going to do another part for Kendrick versus Drake. But I have a feeling there's bound to be something to be talked about. But seriously, two of the best to ever do it on the show, and to more great content along the way. Check us out this Wednesday with NFL, this Friday with NBA playoffs. See ya.
See ya.
Bye, Ryan. Bye,
Stone. Good seeing you guys. Catch you on the next one.